on that story. You're listening to NewsHour live from the BBC. I'm Rebecca Kesby. To a disturbing story now, because the Director General of the International Labour Organization has warned that the global rise in the cost of living is driving more children into sexual exploitation and other harmful forms of work. In Kenya, NGO workers have also been raising the alarm that poverty is leading some families into extreme measures just to survive. Our correspondent Barbara Plett-Usher sent this report from Mombasa, and a warning, it does contain distressing details.
Mombasa is a port city, of course, and I'm down by the entrance to the sea. I've just seen a lot of people streaming onto a ferry. This has long been a well-known hub for child sex tourism, but COVID and the increasingly harsh cost of living have helped to push the sex trade online and even further underground. And that's been drawing even more children into the industry. In a wooden shack with the sun shining through gaps in the roof, I meet a mother who's had to make a painful decision. She takes in washing a few times a week to support her three children and doesn't want us to use her name. The money for school fees quickly runs out, she says. There's barely enough for food. So her 14-year-old daughter has to find work. She started selling her body.
As a parent, it's not easy to tell a child to do something like that. I would like her to go to school like other children. But because I don't have any means, she's forced to do that job. My heart is broken and I don't want it to continue.
She's not the only one. We've spoken with a woman who runs a brothel. She told us she's been getting more and more young girls. At this shelter, there is a rare moment of joy. The children are celebrating a birthday party. They're here because they were abused, abandoned, trafficked, or forced into the sex trade. They're the lucky ones, the ones who've been rescued.
We receive also some who are pregnant.
Grace Odemba runs this center and two others. They're struggling to meet the growing needs.
Now everyone wants to survive. They've been giving away their children for exchange of money.
And has it always been that way, or is it more so now?
Now it's more so because there is no money, there is no job.
No money. That's the cry that brought people onto the streets across the country, protesting against rising prices and higher taxes. It's the poorest Kenyans who've been hit the hardest. And there are those who are ready to take advantage of this.
Your phone, your laptop, your memory devices.
This undercover police unit is cracking down on the dark trade in child sex. Here, raiding the home of a man who's posted offensive material on the internet. Officers track down suspects using cyber tips from a database in the United States. Then they search phones and computer drives for explicit material about children.
The raid is underway. What's your initial assessment?
We've managed to get our target. He claims to be innocent, but since he's given us access to his electronic devices, we are going to do some forensic analysis and confirm further to what he's saying.
It's exhausting, traumatic work. Up against a business that thrives in Mombasa.
You find that they're poor families following the whites for support.
Sex tourism?
Yes.
Mutisia Mweni is in charge of the unit. She says there's no data on whether the recent cost of living crisis has driven more children into the sex trade, but her team has begun monitoring it.
There are so many children that are dropping out of school, and then you find that they're getting into this, especially in the coastal region.
One girl who hasn't escaped the streets told me about the despair that shapes her young life. We're using her words, but not her voice.
I am afraid because I know that when you're sleeping with a man, you can get HIV or become pregnant. Sometimes I feel so hungry. And when I look at other children, they don't suffer. Sometimes I think that I have no reason to live.
She's trapped by an economy of depravity that feeds on desperation.
Barbara Plett Usher with that report from Mombasa. Well, a short time ago, we got through to Guillaume Landry, who is the executive director of ECPAT International. They focus on ending the sexual exploitation of children online and in prostitution. And I asked him if poverty was one of the main drivers of child sexual exploitation around the world.
Poverty is basically the fabric on the which it can lead children to resort to sexual exploitation as a coping mechanism. It can be used by themselves, by their family, by their community. So that really when social economic situation is worsening, then you see more people resorting to sexual exploitation as a coping mechanism. And you also see perpetrators seizing opportunity of this imbalance in the power dynamics to make use of the misfortune of others. So basically, the fact that the social fabric is getting disrupted means that children are left on their own and they're more exposed to grooming strategy.
And is it your experience that this issue of child exploitation and abuse is actually getting worse in the world?
The latest evidence we have from Eastern and Southern Africa, as much as in Southeast Asia, is the prevalence is completely alarming. We're looking at countries that are as diverse as Malaysia and Thailand or Mozambique, Namibia, Kenya, Uganda, to have about 7 to 9% of the children in 1 year of time that are using the internet and being sexually harmed seriously. The fact that those technologies have given ways to have direct contact individually with millions of children and refining the grooming techniques to lure them in situation of sexual exploitation really changed the game in recent years and increased basically the prevalence of the problem.
And Guillaume, what would your advice be for parents trying to protect their children against this stuff?
There is the notion of sexuality. How are we able to talk about sex with children? And if we're just too comfortable or just push it that it's something, it's not going to happen to our children. Clearly, we see everywhere with hard evidence that the children access the information otherwise. And the spaces where they do access that information is not the best way to be introduced to sexuality. So we need to unpack the zone of discomfort that we have adults with relating children with sexuality. Mm. And that's a huge bottleneck that the survivors themselves identify as the greatest need on their list. The trusting that adults would listen to them when things are going wrong, rather than blaming them and taking away the technology, for instance, or saying, I told you, you shouldn't accept people you didn't know. Because basically, when things turn wrong, children don't disclose because they don't trust that us, the adults, will be capable of making things better for them and with them.
So talking to your children, really?
Yeah. And it means that, frankly, whatever is the problem, do we have a relationship with our children that create that space to just to be able to come forward and say, I'm sorry, okay, what do we do about it? Mm-hmm. And we're going to support them. But more and more, the children are saying that they're left on their own without guidance. And when things go wrong, they are good enough to blame themselves. They don't need us to blame them as well.
Guillaume Landry there from ECPAT International. Now for something completely different.